Thank you, Lord God. Well, we've been talking about, we've been in the series we called Seek First the Kingdom for some time now. Seek First the Kingdom. Let's turn over to Matthew 6:24. Now, I obviously can't possibly cover the steps that we've covered to get here. I can't repeat all that. So we've built and where we are right now, we're talking about the Sabbath rest, and we've spent some time there. And I can't cover everything we've covered on that. So I encourage you, go back and listen to the messages online. That's what they're there for. But we will review a little bit to go forward. But Matthew 6:24. Let's go there. This has been our text. Praise you, Lord. Matthew 6:24. Everybody there? It's on your sheet. It says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or money. We'll see that. "Therefore, do not worry," verse 31, "therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." How are all the things going to be added to you? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. What things? All the things we need in this earth. We live in a natural world. Did you know that? But this isn't all there is. What we can see and touch and taste and feel, it is, this world was created out of what is not seen. But this is not all there is. There is a whole world, a spiritual world. There are people that you, if you know somebody that went on past this life, they still exist. Where are they? They're, if they were Christians, they're in a place called heaven. And that's not a figment of somebody's imagination. That's not utopia. It is a place where people are right now. This earth was created. We were created in the likeness and the image of God. There are things that are in heaven that look like they do here. This is a fallen picture. This is a fallen creation. It's not like, think of the most beautiful day and the most beautiful place that you know on this earth. That's going in the direction of what it's like in heaven, but it still doesn't touch heaven. But you get a glimpse. The earth is not supposed to be going through all the gyrations it has. It's because of sin. This earth has fallen. The earth has been through a global flood. This earth is not what it was created to be. It's creaking under the weight of sin. But this is when you can't judge circumstance. You can't judge what is truly by what you see and can touch and feel and taste and hear. This is a natural world. But there is a supernatural, a spiritual reality that trumps and can modify anything you see in the natural. Miracles are not hard to believe when you realize there is an all-powerful God that created this world, that He spoke this world into existence, and He has power that can supersede anything in this world. It's not hard to believe then that natural laws could be overcome. They're not suspended, they're just overcome. There's a natural law of gravity, but there's also a law of lift. And if you start, if you have an airplane wing that is shaped in a certain way and you run it real fast through the air, the pressure on the bottom is more on the top and it goes up in the air. Gravity has not stopped. It's just that there's another force that's overcoming it, right? Jesus walked on the water. It's not because all of a sudden that water was hard or there were rocks, as some people jokingly say. The presence and the power of Almighty God lifted him up. There was something that was more powerful, and he walked on that. Peter did too. There is a supernatural world. We need natural things to get around in this life, but it is not the end-all be-all. People that walk purely by what they can see and feel and experience here naturally miss it. Spiritual people walk by what the Word of God says and what the Spirit of God says, and are more conscious of those things than what they see and feel and experience in this world. That's a spiritual person. I didn't say weird person. It's a big difference. Jesus was spiritual. The people that start acting weird on this earth, and they call it spiritual, and it gives a bad name to true spirituality. Being spiritual means you esteem and walk by the spiritual more than the natural. That means you don't go by what you see, because you know it's subject to change based on what God is saying. If He says to do something and it doesn't look like you can, you go more by what He said than by what you see. And so He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things, all these natural things will be added unto us. What if you don't have the things you need? God already said He knows what you need. And what did He say? What's the way to make sure you have what you need? To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. What if you're not seeing that? We take Him at His word and we walk after Him and say, they have to show up. We make a mistake when we start looking at the natural and say, I don't understand. Where are the things? What's going on? That's not believing. That, see, that's esteeming the natural more than the spiritual. That's where we make a mistake. We're waiting to see it before we wait to experience it before we believe it. It doesn't work that way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Seek what He said first. Do what He said first, and then the things chase you down. What people are doing is saying, well, let's see if this works. If I see it work, then I'll believe it. That doesn't work. You got to be in. You have to be believing. You have to say, God, I trust You. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to do what You told me to do now. And I expect Your word is true. Therefore, what You said would happen will happen. That's what brings results. That's what changes this earth. The things in it. Your circumstances. Our circumstances in this natural world are subject to change. You know it as well as I do. Your body is subject to change. But just like it could get worse, it can just as easily get better. Your financial situation is subject to change. It can change like that. Something you can't see coming, but if we'll obey God, He already has the pathway. You may not be able to see it. I'm seeing right now as I talk about this, like if you see a road, if you see a crowded street, let's say it's just people going left and right, just all in front of you, and you don't see any way you can go through. But as you start going through, people start splitting, and there is a pathway that can get you through that. God knows the pathway, but if you look at it in the natural, you see no way to do it. You look at it and say, it's crowded, there's no way I can get through, I can't do it. That's when we have to start stepping and walking by faith and say, God, You told me this to do, You said this by Your word, You said this by Your spirit, therefore I start walking. And as you do, stuff starts splitting. It's like what when the Israelites went through the Red Sea. If they're going by, I mean, think about what they did. You have this water that obviously, from what happened later, can definitely, it's deep enough that it can kill you, because the Egyptian army tried to follow him, and that's what happened. They died. So it wasn't this Mickey Mouse, you know, foot of water that they were just hyping up about, because the Egyptian, you know, some people say that, well, they went across and it just wasn't that deep. Well, that same not deep water just killed a whole army. And people were on horseback. So no, it was real. It was standing up. When they split the Red Sea and it went up, there are walls of water. Apparently. You probably see the fish. If that comes down, I'm done. They had to go across in faith. But when they got there, they thought they were trapped. They thought there was nowhere to go. But God had a way through. He always has a way through. It's just we can't see it with what's going on in the natural. That doesn't mean the pathway doesn't already exist. We live in three physical dimensions, but there's a fourth dimension called time. And just because something is crowded right now in this time doesn't mean in a different period of time it's not going to be. Like right now, at this time, you are all here and these seats are filled. You know, Pete, you're sitting in that seat. In space, you're at this place, up, down, you know, you're at this physical space. So far, I can measure from one of those walls and measure it and find this exact space you're in. I can measure from that wall, and then I could say you're, you know, 20 inches off the ground. You're right there. But in 2 hours, you won't be there. Why? Because it's 2 hours later. You have moved to someplace else. But in physical space, you're there right now. But you won't be. Right now, in your circumstance, you may look around and say, I don't see how this could possibly happen, but time is going to pass and things can open up that you can't see right now. Contacts can be made that you don't see right now. God already knows those. He sees into time. He sees it all at the same time. He knows exactly what's going to open up and change. And He sees like we can't see. And we may say there's no way, but we're going at a snapshot in time where He sees all time. And He says, of course it's going to happen. This person is coming here, and they're going to do this. And by the time you step up there, it's going to be clear. Just trust me. He knows. You say, I don't have any, I don't see how the money's going to come. You don't have to worry about that. All you have to know is, what does He say? If you get the plan from Him, He already knows all these variables that you couldn't possibly comprehend. Doesn't matter how smart you are, you can't see the future. But He can. If He tells you to step, He already knows the people that He has. It's like, you know, I'm not a football player, never was, but you know, watched a little football, and you know when you run a certain play, you don't throw the ball to where the guy is now, you throw the ball to where he's going to be. And if you throw the ball to where he is now, he's going to run right past it. If you're running a certain route, you're saying, you go here, and I'm going to nail you there. So the ball is already on the way before the guy gets there, and he's coming by and he catches it. Right? What we're looking at so many times is that we're looking at what is now, and we're running and we don't see anything changing, so we stop and then there comes the ball. What did God tell us to do? He knows what we need. He said, you just follow me, put me first. And what you need will be there when you need it. Just walk after me, trust me, and you'll have it. Amen. Period. Seek first the kingdom of God and these right and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He knows we need them. He's not ignorant. He knows how the world works. He created it. Yes. He's not ignorant. Well, God just doesn't know I have bills to pay. What? He knows everything. He knows how the world markets work. He knows where the markets are going to be 6 months from now. Men may think they do, but they don't. He knows what the financial conditions are going to be. He knows who's going to win the presidency. He knows what the world economy is going to be like next year. He knows all these things now. He knows exactly what will happen. And he's telling us to do something specific, and all these variables that are happening going like this. We don't have to see. If we try to look at this, you can be confusing. You look at this and this, it can be overwhelming. How am I going to figure all this stuff out? We're not supposed to figure all of it out. I'm not saying you shut your brain off, but your brain is not supposed to be used to try to figure things out that only God knows. You're supposed to get his direction and then use your brain to implement what he has told us to do. Don't try to use your brain to figure it out. Your brain isn't made to be able to figure out. It can't figure out the future. It doesn't have the data. When you try to figure it out, it's called worry. And it does no good. Because you're trying to figure out what happens here and what happens there, what happens this, and your head feels like it's going to explode. And not only your head, it will destroy the rest of your body. Because your body's not made to handle it. If God can shoulder it, God, he doesn't have to figure it out. He knows. He knows exactly what we need, when we need it. So if we'll just boil it down to, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What is it your word's telling me in this situation? And do it, the things will be added. Notice it didn't say you'll chase them down or figure out how to get them. It said they will be added to us. Just doing what he told us to do. Because he's a good daddy. Because he's a good father. And if you're in his army, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing with him, he is going to take care of us in style. We're on, if he's telling us to do something, that means he's responsible for it. You're his guest. Well, God, I'm on the mission from you. He's going to take care of us. If he told us to do something in his word, it'll work. I said it will work. Because he's not a liar. Everybody say this. Say, God is not a liar. Then you may say, I already know that. Do you? Will he do what he said he would do? That's what you have to ask. We have to be convinced. It's what he, because it's his reputation on the line. If the word says something and we're trusting him and basing our life on it, if it doesn't happen, we can't believe anything that he's ever said. How do you know then if you trust Jesus, you're saved? If you can't trust God's word, because that's why we believe that. Or you should believe it, based on what the word says. Not because somebody told you, because the word told you. That if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Well, what about the other words? What about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you? Is that God's word or not? Jesus said it. Do we believe it? Then if we act on it, we have to be convinced. God, you're not going to fail me. You will do what you said you would do. Look at it in the New Living Translation on your sheet there. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. We've talked about that. Verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? It's worry. It's how am I going to figure this out? How is this going to work? I can't see it. I can't figure it out. That is worry, and that's not our job. That's right. Our job is, Lord, what did you say? Am I doing what you told me to do? And then forget about the rest. And expect that he's going to keep his word. Verse 32, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Unbelievers have a plan, trying to plan it out. They're not taking into consideration the Lord. They're not taking into consideration God. They're just trying to figure it out. And if you're not careful, you'll listen to them and what they're trying to do without God. There are strategies in the natural that people come up with. They're doing their best to try to figure this thing out. That's not how we as believers are supposed to live, though. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Verse 33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Just praise him for just a minute. Glory, just praise you and honor you. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Betela no cola de kita la nista tela nondo. Eta stola na mande. Gista la nonda la bekita la nosto. Esta la nonda la gita tela nonda la manda. Esta la nanda la mocosto. Ete te stola da kila na manda la mosto. Esta la nanda la mocola da tandi la nenda. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Can I see your sheet, Andrew? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Glory to God. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You believe it?
Yes.
We've been talking about, we're just going to just go a little bit further here. We don't have time to recap. But we've talked about the Sabbath and about, and if you haven't heard the previous messages on this, I encourage you to go back and listen to them, because we can't possibly get into these. We already said that. We've already covered in what we've said this morning. We're just emphasizing the fact that God knows. He knows we live in a natural world. He knows what we're dealing with. He knows this, but there are things we don't know. And he has ways to do things that we can't comprehend with our limited mind. And he knows what's going to happen. And we can't go by what the world says. And we can't go by what people without God says, or what our natural senses tell us. We have to know that his word is true, and we're going to act and believe what he says and be a doer of it, and things can open up, things can change, things will be different, things will be provided for as we do his word. Right?
Yes.
Now, we've gotten to this a little bit, and I want to go, I believe, just a little bit further here. We looked at several verses, but let's just read Psalm 127 there on your sheet. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. In the New Living Translation, unless the Lord protects or builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to us, to you. He did not say, work yourself into the grave to try to get these things. Notice he's using strong language here. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, money to pay your rent, whatever, to get stuff. Why would you do that? Because you're afraid. Because we're not trusting what he said. He said, seek him first, and the stuff will be added to you. Period. Right? We're to rest. This life is not supposed to be lived in anxiety, in trying to get stuff. That is the way people without God live. Because they don't believe there's any other help. But we're not to be like that. We're supposed to put him first, take a deep breath, and trust him that he's going to take care of what we need because he already knows it. And his word has directions telling us how to live our lives so we can walk and enjoy what he would have us enjoy. And his will for our life is not to run around or to run in circles like a hamster on a wheel trying to get stuff every day and just, well, that's what I have to do. He has a higher life. But he's told us certain things to do. And one of those things is what the Bible calls the Sabbath. And it's to take a break and to rest. And he told us this is the way we're to live. Now, we already covered, and I can't go back. This is in, you see this in numerous places in the Bible. And it was laid down as part of the Ten Commandments. And we already have spent time on the fact that those things, those have not passed away. Murder is still evil. Adultery is still evil. Honoring your mother and father is still something we ought to do. Putting the Lord first is still something we ought to do. We've already spent whole time and we talked about the relevancy of those things today. And if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. It'll help you. We can't repeat that. And we went over some of the things about this. But this is something we're to do. It's not an optional thing. Now, we've said these things just very shortly, just in review. You're not to do it legalistically. Okay, men make legalistic observation. But we've spent some time just reading the Word, and what does it say? What does it actually say about this day? I don't believe it's necessarily a specific day. I mean, for Israel, it absolutely was. The whole nation was in the same sink. I mean, they all did the same things. It was, at the beginning, basically a theocracy. They wanted a king, so it changed. But they all were completely synced up as a community. They observed a certain day, you see, in the New Covenant. Predominantly, people will observe it on a Sunday. The covenant was on a Saturday. It's not the day so much. When you look at what the Bible says, it says 6 days you will work. The seventh will be a rest. Let's look at Exodus 20 on your sheet there. It says, Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, keep it set apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, this is what the Bible says about it, not what man says about it. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. nor you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And the New Living Translation says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God, and that day no one in your household may do any work. Look on your sheet, Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So we spend some time looking at that the Bible says clearly, there's a day we should rest, we should set it apart unto God. We're not supposed to work 7 days a week. Period. You'd have to read, you know, we spent a good amount of time on the scriptures in these different areas. But the Bible is pretty straightforward. It doesn't add a lot of caveats to this. It just says you're not supposed, there's supposed to be a day where you don't work. That you're resting, that it's set apart, that it's holy to God. How many of you believe God knows what we as human beings need? Do you know, if you've looked at the manual for your automobile, it tells you what you need to maintain it, doesn't it? Now, you have people. I'm not knocking anybody, but there are people that will tell you and try to sell you stuff for your car that you really need to do these things all the time. And they're, now I'm not saying they're not good, but it's this other regimen that you think that you should do, but it's different than what the manufacturer tells you you should do. How many of you think the manufacturer knows what you actually need to do for your car? But there's people tell you, well, yeah, that's good, but you need to do this. Well, God knows what we need to do for us, for our body, for the health of our body, for the health of our mind, for the health of our life, our relationships, just your well-being, your sanity, your relationship with Him. And He's told us in His Word, this isn't a mystery. Now men, just like some people with automobiles, have taken it and said, well, this is what you actually need to do. And they write whole volumes on what it means to not do any work. But it's not that hard with what we just read. That's pretty much the gist, and we've read other scriptures, of what God said. Now people try, because they're people, to try to get around. They're squirrely. They're like, well, it says this, but it could mean this, and it could mean this. And what they're trying to do is just figure out a way that they can live the way they want to live and make it fit into Scripture. And this is called religion. And there's all kinds of religion in the world. But God's not complicated. Things are really not that hard. People try to make the things of God hard, but they're really not that hard. Problems that we end up having in our relationships, so many times in our bodies, they're really not that hard. We've complicated it, and we're trying to make our life work apart from the Word, and so we make it complicated. We say, you know, the answer is glaring us in the face. God says, do this, and we say, yeah, but nobody else does that. I don't want to do it. How can I make it work without them? Then it gets complicated. Right there, it got muddy. Why? You're saying, God said this, it's crystal clear, but I don't want to do that. Or I don't think I can do that. Or I'm afraid to do that. So I'm going to try to do this. Well, now you're trying to solve a problem that doesn't have a solution. So it's muddy. Because you're trying, the solution is here, but a person can reject that solution now. How do I solve it? Good luck. And that's where a lot of the world is. There's no God. We're not going to do it His way. We just don't know how to solve this. And the answer is, follow God. Follow God. Do what He said. Seek first the kingdom of God. How do we do this? These problems. God, there is no God. But how do we solve these problems? They go around in circles. It's so hard. How do you raise kids? It's so hard, but we don't want to do what God says about it. How do we have a marriage, but we don't, the Bible's outdated and we can't do any of that, but we're going to figure out our own way and it's so hard. Why is the divorce rate so high now? We just don't know it. We just don't know. Why are these problems? We just can't figure it out. It's not that hard. I said it's not. God knows. He told us certain things to do. And we've rejected them sometimes, and our culture has. In this area, it's changed. And any of you that have been around, for I haven't been around that long, but I've seen it change. People don't have gone to where they won't take a day off. Now, it's always been there. Don't get me wrong. It's always been there. People haven't. But as a culture, we've gone away from it. I know when I was growing up, there was hardly anything open on Sunday. Even on Wednesday nights, when certain denominations had church, the teachers would not sign as much homework. We wouldn't have practices. But Sunday, there was like convenience stores open. But now, it's almost just the same as anything else. Now, it's not about necessarily that day. But in the culture, it was a godly thing, because that is in the Bible. It is one of the Ten Commandments. It's not something that's loosey-goosey off to the side. We've talked about that. We've established that. Why? There's whole cultures on the earth that just pride themselves on, we don't take a day off. We just keep going. That's not godly. It's not about, you work hard. God, Bible says, work hard 6 days. But it said, don't work the seventh. Out of legalism? No, for our own good. The manufacturer told us how to operate this vehicle. And that's all it is a machine. It's an organic machine. That's all this is. It's a very advanced machine. But it has limits. Our minds have limits. God told us a very key thing to keeping our life on track is to take a day and set aside. For most people, where we are now, it's going to be a Sunday. Could be a Saturday. Could be a Monday. But we're supposed to set aside a day to rest, set aside a day that's holy to the Lord, to get refreshed, to get your mind focused on Him, to get your mind quiet, not have 50 things, other things that are going to interrupt that you're able to come, hear the Word of God, clear your mind, not have the constant noise of the world pushing on you and trying to get stuff done. It's like a rhythm. 6 days, you're pushing. Seventh, you stop. Silence. Your mind can come back into a line, can see the things that are important, can start to align. You can spend, with your family, with your God. Quiet. People say, I don't have time to pray. God set it up. Cut it off. On a day, there's your time. I just can't get my head around certain things. Put the gap in there. Let God speak to you. Look at Him. Your body is not made to go constantly. It gives a rest to your body, to your joints, to your muscles, to your mind, to your eyesight, everything, to rest. Our bodies are made to operate this way. Now the question. The question. And then one of the things that keeps people from doing this is they say, I can't. I just can't do it financially. If I do that, I can't pay my bills. That's where people are at. But let's go back to what we've said so far. Does God know we live in a natural world? Does God know everything we need? What did He tell us to do? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Is that His word? Then it cannot fail. It cannot. Yeah, but you don't understand. This is an argument in our society. This is an argument. So hear me out. So don't take offense at this, because I understand what is in our society. But like we talked about that whole series on deception, this is a lie. It's trying to push us into the natural and saying it's totally... Why would you say you can't? Because you're basing it on what you can see, feel, your understanding. But what did God say? He said, if you do this, these things will be added to you. I will take care of you. This is the way your body is meant to work. I mean, He didn't say these things in the Word, but He told us to do it. And He said to rest. He said your mind needs it. He said to set it aside as holy. That means you don't touch it. Now, people have gotten legalistic about it, like we've talked about. But what did He say? He said, just don't work. Just don't do it. What does that mean? We know what it means. We could talk more about it. But instead of spending the time trying to figure out what did it, let's just put it this way: what did it mean to the Israelites? It's a society that's based a lot on agriculture. They don't have washing machines, they don't have dishwashers, they don't have cars. So when you talk about work, it's work. I mean, any number of things. They wouldn't cook, because what? You don't go to McDonald's and pick something up. It's just you got to do. Now we live in a different world now. But what did it mean? Everybody knew what it meant. You're in the fields, you're trying to get something done, you're trying to make a living. What did He say? Stop. Just sit. They would go to service, they would hear God. They were not. They had to have these laws because they weren't born again, but they had to have these instructions on just chill. Sit. Yeah, but I want to go. I just want to get up. He just said, sit. And it's a lie that if I do what God told me to do, I will be hurt. That's the core right there. It's fear. Who is the author of fear? It's not God. Who would tell you if you do what God told you to do, it will cost you? That is Satan. And he lies. He will perpetually lie. If you obey God, it's going to cost you. But we have to go back to what did God say? He told us, our Father told us, if we just follow what He told us to do, everything will come after us. So what it comes down to is, will we trust Him? Did He mean what He said? Will He do what He said He's going to do? Or in our case, He will fail us. He knows. We look, the Bible says, as through a glass darkly. We look and we say, I don't see how that would work. I don't see how that's ever going to work. I can't do it. I can't, you don't understand, I have to be here, and this is just the way it is. But we're seeing what we can see in the natural. God sees for all time. He sees what could be. When we act on His word, we give Him legal right to move these things around so that there's a pathway. We can't see it. We can't figure it out with our mind, but at His Word, we obey Him, we give Him legal authority to make His Word so, and He starts moving stuff, and you walk in it and you say, my God, it's splitting. Now, I know this hits us exactly where we live, but this is our society has gone away and said there is no God, so then why would you do that? But the Word tells us this is a way for us to live healthy, to live strong, to live sane, to live not just overloaded with stuff in our brain. It's a stop to let all the pressure go back down, to let our body relax, to let the tension dissipate, to let our mind be clear, to put our minds and our hearts on God so we can hear Him clearly, so we can be refreshed and to be recharged, and we can go out and do what He called us to do. Hallelujah. He is so good. He wants the best for us. He would never lie to us. He would never hurt us. Ever. 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 Let's just take a moment here. We're wrapping up. But just let Him speak to your heart. If there's things that if you had questions, that go back and listen to some of the messages. But where we're at right now, it comes down to, Lord, I trust You. I turn my mind off. I believe what You said. I believe you're a God of Your Word. That You know what I don't know. Lord, I trust You. I choose to walk according to Your ways and Your commandments, and I trust You. Thank You. Glory to You, Lord. Lord, we're so thankful. Glory to You, God. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, God. Thank You, Lord. There is an anointing here. There are people here that have experienced physical problems. And I'm not saying this is the case for everybody. But there are at least a few. And the reason you're having those physical problems is because you've pushed and you haven't observed what we're talking about today. And you've broken natural laws. You've pushed your body past what it should be pushed. And if you'll repent and you'll change, you'll see the problems go away. Things that you've been pushing and you've been trying to believe God for, and you've wondered why you have the physical problems, it's because you've pushed. It's because you've not observed what God told us to do, and that is to put aside a day and take it off. This is your answer, and if you will repent and change, you'll be healed. Hallelujah. Praise You, God. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. If you just make the change. There are people in here, you can avoid physical problems if you'll make that change. Just take him at his word. There are people in here that are saying, but I can't do it financially. If you'll trust God, if you'll just do what he said, go before him. Do what he said. Talk to him about it. And trust him. You will see doors open that you could not have foreseen. You will see sources opened up that you don't know anything about. God keeps his word always. And his word to you is, I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I'm faithful. I always perform my word. So trust me, act on my word, and you will see me do what I told you I would do, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.